The following sermon was delivered by the Reverend Gary Shockley on February 10th, 2013. It's a visioneering sermon for St. Andrew United Methodist Church.
This is your day, O God. This is your church. We are your people. Speak to us, lead us, guide us. And God, give us the faith we need to follow. Amen. Theme is risk it all. I have a sneaky suspicion that the story that was read about Jesus and the disciples and casting the nets to catch fish had more to do with catching people than catching fish. It was a metaphor that Jesus was using to teach his disciples about what God intended to do in and through them. My opportunity this morning is to do some vision casting with you all, and to begin by recognizing that the process started long before Gary Shockley arrived on these fair shores. There's a group of persons that I like to call our fishing captains, who worked on mission and vision statement, who worked on strategic plans and goal setting and initiatives. And what I get to do as the new senior pastor is to listen in on all those conversations, to attempt to pull all the strands together, encapsulate this incredible vision that God has for us and reflect it back to you, the church. Someone once said, if you're going nowhere, any road can take you there. True. The Proverbs teach us where there is no vision, the people perish. Well, I want to celebrate this morning that at St. Andrew, we have a road that we're on, a journey that has existed for more than 50 years. And we have a vision that has been guiding us and leading us along the way. It has everything to do, this mission and vision of ours. It has everything to do with casting our nets out into the community and the wider world as God directs us. Jesus said to his disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. I don't know. I have faith enough to believe that what Jesus was trying to instill in his disciples then is what God is seeking to instill in God's disciples now. And the question for us is, will we be so willing to follow where God calls us to go? The mission of our church, it's a paraphrase of the mission or the co-mission that Jesus taught of the church universal. Would you read out loud with me, those of you who can read the screen? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. This is the mission of the church that has existed since the time of Christ. This is how our leadership, in reflecting on the Great Commission that Jesus taught a few years back, were able to articulate to us. Our mission is to invite, receive, nurture, challenge, and send forth committed Christian disciples. If anyone were to ask, what is it that St. Andrew was all about? We could point to this and say, it's right there. And our vision statement helps to define what it means to be a committed Christian disciple. How we live out our mission in our particular ministry context is reflected in this. May God's light so shine through our passionate worship, our radical hospitality, our transformational spiritual growth, our risk-taking mission and service, and extravagant generosity. Why? So that all may come to know God. So, when we draw in our nets, at the end, in particular of this year, 2013, what do we hope to find? Hopefully not a lot of smelly fish. What will be different at the end of this year because we follow our mission and vision and align our programs and our resources and our lives around it? The answer is in our mission statement itself. What we hope to find in the net are committed Christian disciples. That's it. Now the question is it possible for us to quantify this goal? And my answer is, I believe it is. As leaders, what we're looking for by the end of 2013, our goal, our bullseye, what we seek to find in the net, are 500 people from our active congregational life who are growing as committed Christian disciples. Now, before I talk about how we might measure this growth, let me run a couple things by you about what we believe about Christian discipleship. Christian discipleship implies a relationship with God as manifest in Christ. A disciple is a learner, a follower, someone who emulates another. A Christian disciple is someone who emulates, follows, and learns about Christ and God as manifest through Christ. It's an intentional desire to be on a journey with other people, to realize that we're not in this alone, that we are in this together. We have this great caravan called St. Andrew. We invite people to come and join us as we journey together. It's an alignment of our life around behaviors and practices that we know are consistent with what we understand to be those who follow God as manifest in Christ. Now, this is by no means an exhaustive list, but it captures some of the major attributes of what it means to be a disciple. It also means understanding God through practical study. And this church probably does that better than any other church I have ever known. But it also means inviting people into personal experience, that heart strangely warmed thing that John Wesley, our founder, talked about. It's about a balance between head and heart, of intellect and experience. It's also a desire for continued growth in one's personal relationship with God. Can we assess growth as disciples? And if we can, how on earth do we do that? Do the leaders of the church kind of meet with you one-on-one and grade you or score you in that regard? Gosh, I hope not. I don't want that job. Is it possible to assess discipleship growth individually, but also corporately as a church? And I believe the answer is yes and yes. Let me talk about assessing individual spiritual growth first, and then I'll move on to the corporate growth as a congregation. Now, what I want to reflect back again with a new visual is our vision statement. And I want to reiterate, this was here before I arrived. So if you don't like it, don't blame me. I happen to think it's right on target. Our mission is committed Christian disciples. Here's what I was able to play around with our vision statement. There are six behaviors in our vision that talk about what a Christian disciple is and does. Watch this. Committed Christian disciples worship God with passion. Worship is a component of the spiritual life. Worship in a corporate setting, but worship in an individual private setting as well. Learning to worship God wherever we are. Committed Christian disciples practice radical hospitality. As a church, as a reconciling congregation, we believe that that's radical inclusivity, that everyone is welcome here from every walk of life. It makes no difference at all. We are all on this pilgrimage together. Committed Christian disciples are devoted to spiritual growth. I happen to believe that healthy organisms grow. Healthy organisms reproduce. And if we're not growing spiritually, if we're not reproducing in some way in our spiritual lives, then we have to question, where are we in the journey? Committed Christian disciples are invested in mission and service. It's important what we do in the life of this church together within the confines of these walls. Again, head and heart, learning, growing in fellowship, understanding what it means to be in ministry, and then investing that out in the world and the community around us. I think of that as the inside-out church. What happens on the inside here is reflected on the outside. Committed Christian disciples. This is one that I added. It wasn't in our vision. Invite others on the journey. I think we have something special enough in this congregation, something wonderfully unique. We ought to be inviting everybody to join us and be part of the party, don't you think? Thank you for that amen. I've never known a church like St. Andrew. I'm serious. There isn't another one of us that exists. We ought to be telling everybody about it and inviting everyone to be part of the journey with us. Committed Christian disciples live generous lives, investing their time, their talent, their treasure, and their trust. Okay, so if this represents what it means to be a committed Christian disciple, and we measure discipleship by behavior, not just what we believe or what we profess, but how we act, is it possible to assess that? Let me suggest this morning that I think the best assessment of spiritual growth is a self-assessment. It's helping you to figure out where you are in the journey, and it's helping you to figure out where God wants you to go next, where you want to go next in the journey. No one can assess our growth for us, but we can assess our spiritual growth for ourselves. So we've wrestled a little bit among the leadership of the church. What kind of a tool, what resource, what assessment can we offer to you to help as a guide in this kind of assessment? And it's starting to look something like this. And I know the print is very tiny. This is going to be posted on our website. This entire presentation this morning will be available on our website this week. I think the slides, as well as my wonderful voice. You'll be able to scrutinize each of these boxes with a little bit more clarity. But just in general, on the left are those six behavioral indicators that are already a part of our vision. And across the top is a progression of someone moving from being an observer to an explorer to a beginner to somebody deepening to somebody becoming centered. The words are meaningless, but what that does is shows some movement in the spiritual journey. Now, you and I know that the spiritual life doesn't unfold in a linear fashion. We don't start from point A to go to point B to C to D to E, all those other alphabet letters. Sometimes we start at B and go to A and go to D and back to C and up to J, you know? Sometimes we start at A and maybe stay there for a good long while. The spiritual journey unfolds as it needs to unfold in us. But the point that I want to make is it unfolds. It goes somewhere. It leads us beyond where we are. We have on our walls, God loves us. God loves us as we are, but God loves us as we are. Oh, boy. And doesn't want to leave us there. There you go. Good night. Thank you for coming. Oy. This is not a scorecard. This is not to be a judgmental kind of thing. This is not to be you're in, you're out. This is an assessment designed for you to use as a self-assessment instrument. When it's posted on our website, and our team is developing it right now, you'll be able to access it, give yourself a password so that you're the only one who can see it. And then you can go back from time to time to see what's changed. Is there any movement in your life, right? Again, what we'd like to see is at the end of the year, 500 or more people able to reflect back to us, not because of this chart, but because of all the things that are happening here and all the opportunities here, I've been able to grow, even if it's this much. The worst thing in the world is for us to invest in all of this and find out it's not helpful. Does it make sense? So this is just one attempt at helping to explore that. Now, I took the risk when I brought this here, and I've been tweaking it, and lots of people have been chiming in on it, and so it's changed a lot. I actually took the thing based on where I was last year. You might want to rethink me as your senior pastor. When you see that I am not all in the centered category. In fact, there's nothing in there right now. It's a little scary even for me. When I was in Nashville, Tennessee, a year ago, I want you to notice in the far left corner, the box that's shaded three blocks down is devoted to spiritual growth. It says, I'm recovering from a crisis in my life and just need a place to rest. Kim and I went to Edge Hill Church in Nashville. I was about done with church. I'm just going to confess that to you. Not pastoring a congregation gave us an opportunity to start looking around for churches. And what I saw was horrible. Just saying. When we went to Edgehill United Methodist Church, a very small reconciling church in that city, as we were walking up the steps of the church, Kim and I agreed this might very well be the last church we try. And then we just become unchurched. We were at that point. We walked in. Obviously, we found a home. But because of the ministry over the years in my life, I needed a place to park myself. And I gave myself the freedom to say to the senior pastor and the ministry staff, you know what? You just need to kind of leave me alone for a while. I'm healing right now. I'll find my next place when it's right for me. And it took about 6 or 7 months before they dragged me into stuff because they weren't going to let me go. They kept offering me opportunities, which we should always do. But finally, they said, we want to create a free store in the projects of the city. And something inside me went, bang, and I went, I am all in. Now, what I want to show you is the movement from that period of my life to where I am now. And following that same line, I'm involved in a study group, ministry team, and a small group that is helping me to grow in my faith. I'm not where I want to be in the other areas. I'm moving up in terms of centered. But I want you to look like half, 3/4 of the way down. I've actually moved back in one box. Isn't that how life is? Now, I'm sharing this with you. I won't be posting yours on the screen like this, although that would be a blast. But I want you to see that it reflects my understanding and my assessment of where Gary Shockley is. Because I want to know that I'm growing, and I want to be able to find, if I'm here, what might be the next thing for me to do? And then it becomes the responsibility of the leadership and the staff of our congregation to develop the resources and programs and opportunities to help you move to the next place. Make sense? I know it's a little linear. I know it's a little bit, you know, boxy. Disregard that. Think of it as an opportunity for self-assessment. And you know what? If you don't like any of the words we have in here, we'll give you a blank copy and you can put your own words in so that you can monitor progress in your own language. Some people like that. So the best assessment of growth is a self-assessment. And we want to help you with this. How do we assess whether the church as a whole is helping our congregation in this journey? That's another question. And what is it as a congregation we really need to be focused on in order to make sure that at the end of 2013, 500 or more people are able to grow in their discipleship? What is our responsibility? Another funny looking chart. We identified 5 key areas that we think if we do these well this year, we'll support this goal of 500. And the very first one has to do with worship. We want more people in worship, not so that we can count it and turn it into the district and feel great about ourselves. But you know what? We happen to believe that worship is one of these experiences where we can grow together in our discipleship and our relationship with God. And if you tell me your coming to worship is leaving you dry and you're not being moved and you're not being challenged, and sometimes I get emails that way, and I need to hear those because we need this to be an important arena to help people grow in their Christian discipleship. We see adding new small groups so that at least 200 new people can be involved in small group ministry is one of the ways that we can facilitate or help persons in their spiritual development. Increasing attendance in our events and activities, we believe that the more people we can bring on this campus and infect, and I mean infect, with St. Andrew culture and DNA, the more people we can bring in here and sneeze on, the more people will begin to catch the vision and find a place and begin to grow and journey with us. So we want to think specifically about how do we grow that area? Using our spiritual gifts, understanding them, first of all, taking the spiritual gifts test online that we have on our website, and then finding ways to use our spiritual gifts in ministry is another area of spiritual growth. And then helping people get deeper in their personal relationship with God through personal spiritual disciplines and training around meditation and contemplation and all of those kinds of things. Our ministry directors and our staff are working on their own personal goals in their own ministry areas to make sure that the work they do lines up with this. So that, again, all of our resources, all of our energy is being focused on helping people to grow spiritually. And then in that spiritual growth to begin to affect their own personal lives, lives in their families, the community around us, and even the wider world. So what about beyond 2013? Well, we're going to need some more worship services around here if we keep having attendances like this. Great success with Wildflower right now, one Saturday a month. That'll be moving to twice a month through Dale's leadership and his team. And we know that will continue to grow. But we'll need other worship venues because, again, bringing people here helps them to join the journey. We also think exploring opportunities and options to extend ministry beyond our main campus to reach new people, younger people, more diverse people for the kingdom is the right idea. Am I talking about planting a new church? I don't know. Are we talking about creating an extension campus? I don't know. Are we talking about finding some struggling United Methodist churches in our geographical area who have lost a sense of mission and vision, who have dwindled to the point of near disaster, and coming alongside them to help revitalize them so that they can reach people in their community, catch fish, introduce them to Christ, and move them on the journey? I don't know. But we know that God is calling us to do something. Becoming a sharing, teaching church with programs and products that will encourage and support other United Methodist congregations. We are a living laboratory in this congregation. There is so much that we can share with the wider church community to help them find their way and their sense of vision and purpose as a church. Explore the creation of a center for healing and wholeness for our wider community. I find it fascinating the number of pastoral counselors, psychotherapists, spiritual directors, wellness practitioners, people in the medical profession, music therapists, and others whom God has drawn into this church. And when I look at their gifts as they're showing up, I'm wondering, God, what are you up to? You're up to something here. Is it possible for us to develop this center that will reach out for the wider community to help persons find wholeness and life? And finally, become a tithe plus three congregation, which means that eventually 13% of what comes in this collection plate goes back out again in service to the wider community, the country, and the world. Right now, we're at 10%. We're a tithing church. Eventually, we want to get to 13. 500 people growing as committed Christian disciples, experiencing growth in their discipleship resulting in behaviors that will transform their lives, their families, their community, and the wider world. And the question I would ask is, will you join this journey? It was here before I got here, and I've signed on. I'm ready to lead us in this process. Will you take the necessary risks to help yourself grow and develop? And will you do whatever you can to help others in their way on their journey with God? Can we count on your gifts of time, talent, treasure, and trust to bring the resources that we need for this vision to become reality? When the assessment is online, I'll let you know it. I'll encourage you to take it, for you to encourage others, for maybe you to engage in conversation with close personal friends if you wish. But most of all, for you to prayerfully discern where God is calling you to go next in your discipleship journey. What's your next step? And will you have the courage to take it? Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." I'd like to close this time in prayer. Will you join with me? From the moment you placed the spark of the divine in the human heart, we have yearned for you, O God. We have experienced the reality of you in the natural world around us. You have made yourself known to us through the writers and prophets of old and manifested yourself more fully through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for all the ways you have reached out to us. Thank you for calling us to learn of you, to know you by name, to follow in your ways. As we dare to see and follow this vision you have given to this congregation, And to us as individuals, give us faith. Free us of fear. Help us trust in you. And, oh God, give us the strength, courage, and resources we need to risk it all by casting our nets out into the wider world to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. In Christ's name, and in the dunamis, the dynamite of the Holy Spirit, we pray for your guidance upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.